Thanks for joining us again on the Accelerator Podcast. I'm Josh Elledge, and today on the podcast, we're going to talk to the founders as they finish their last few events and practice pitching as they lead up to the big public reveal on Demo Day. Mark Baratelli, founder of Big Box Of, has been a real pleasure to follow throughout this process. He spoke with our producer, Brian Orr, about where he is now versus where he was when he started speaking with him almost 8 weeks ago.
Obviously, we've been through a pretty good, you know, roller coaster ride with you, which is good. I mean, I think it was an honest ride with you. So where are you at now with Big Box Of or whatever it's going to be as it moves forward?
Melissa is the rock, and she reminded me the other day, she was like, everybody you share this idea with, they like, right? And I was like, yes, I need to remember that, because technically, I mean, I have a website, but it's not, you can look at it, you can't order anything. It's always in hindsight, like you can say, oh, I should have brought in an assistant. Because what I'm bad at is not the menial, but this is due by this day, make sure to get this form in. I don't do any of that, and then everything, and I have to scramble the last minute to do it. So if I had to do it all over again, I would bring in a helper, because everything I can pretty much do, I can do the graphic design, I learned how to do the financials and how to do a business model. I think I could have done a lot better if I just had someone kind of holding my hand all the way through it. And they did as much as they could. But what I really appreciate was that it was an environment where, for the first time in years, I felt like the thoughts in my head could come out of my mouth and I wouldn't be judged or whatever, because it made me sort of remember Baby Mark. And Baby Mark was always asking questions, always, and to the point of being annoying. And that's what I did here. But Melissa was super patient and allowed me. And I would preface it. I would say, let me have my mark time. And everyone would be in the room, and I would ask these horrible questions. But once I asked them, then I feel good. I had a business opportunity came my way a few days ago. And I started using, and like naturally, I started using the language and the lingo that we learned here. The thing about, well, we got to see if anybody wants this versus just think everyone will want this. And that's a big takeaway, is doing surveys and asking people. That's your information right there.
At least what I'm hearing is that it's been a pretty safe experience for you. Because a lot of the fears coming in, like if you remember our first time together with you sitting right over there and all that, maybe some of the fears and apprehensions that you have, at least those didn't come to fruition, right?
Right. Like I quit, I think, 3 times, took weeks off, and then I would come in and it wouldn't be a big deal. No one was judging me. I just picked up where I left off. And what Melissa said, I believe this 99%, and I trust her. But she said, like, what takes some people a week, I can, like, throw together at the last minute. I think for some things I can, yeah. So maybe that's the way I work. The big thing is just allowing because I'm different. I'm just different. And allowing the way I think to be okay and then move forward and work on what I'm doing. I think I have a lot, after this experience, a lot to tell and a lot to give that I've been kind of hiding and keeping down for a lot of years. I feel a little bit more confident.
Sounds like a win to me.
It sounds like a win to me, too. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to hashtag Accelerator.
Transitive verb. To bring about at an earlier time.
To hasten the progress or development.
To move faster. To gain speed.
To hasten the progress or development.
Pause.
To move faster.
Accelerator.
As you've heard in previous episodes, the Starter Studio team brings in experts to support the starters by teaching on various business topics. As I mentioned before, I have about 20 years of experience in media and PR, and my business, UpendPR.com, helps businesses capitalize on PR to grow their businesses.
Now, let me talk about pitching. Because remember we talked about the cardinal sin? Here it is. I get this all the time, like almost every day. They're like, hey, we would love to guest blog on your post, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is what we're experts in. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this sounds all right. And then they're like, all we ask for is that you link back to our website. I'm like, who are you? I don't have to link back to anybody. I mean, why on earth would you go up to a journalist and say, well, hey, I'd love to do a segment. You know, I'm an expert in this, and, you know, I could tell like this. The only thing I demand is that you promote me to your audience and that you put your link in front of your online audience, you share my link 3 times on air. Who the hell are you? You have no, rank in that relationship to ask for that. And so, unfortunately, entrepreneurs do this all the time, and I just don't get it. You have to, in a relationship, you have to give a lot before you can ever ask for anything in return. Like there's, for example, one influencer that I'm working for, and this dude's huge. Well, my practice, Up NPR, we just launched not too long ago. You know, we're kind of growing the thing. And so I reached out to one of the biggest people I know in a certain industry. And I said, hey, we know each other. And I said, look, I appreciate everything that you've done for me. I've learned a lot, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is what I do. I'd love to do a media kit for you for free. And, you know, so I initiate this campaign with an offer or a gift. And I offered to do this work for him for free. I don't mention anything about what I hope will happen in return. If I did that, all of a sudden that's going to make the relationship just feel icky, right? So don't ever ask for anything in return. Professional business people will naturally reciprocate. So if we had someone that legitimately created great content and they said, I don't need any links back, you know, I really just appreciate everything you do and I respect, you know, the audience that you built. I'm just really passionate about this subject. I mean, that sounds great. And you know what I'm going to end up doing for that person? I'm going to end up promoting them anyway. But you can't ask to be promoted, right? It's just like that when you work with the media, you can't ask them to promote. As a matter of fact, one thing you'll often hear is you'll hear influencers say, well, we should get you a lot of traffic on your website. When that happens, I want you to play cool, and I want you to say, huh, I appreciate that, but that's not why I'm doing this. I really love this subject, and it's really important for me to help educate audiences on this. So this is just a great opportunity in and of itself. If you do that, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go, good answer, good answer. It's like the guy is, you know, when they interview, you know, Captain Sullenberg, you know, when he saves the plane from crashing, are you a hero? You know, he's not allowed to say, oh yeah, I'm a hero, right? You're not allowed to say that. You have to say, no, I'm not a hero. And then everyone goes, hero, he's a hero, right? It's just kind of like a weird psychological thing. So anyway, don't ask, just give. When you're working with influencers and you give your way to the top and they will reciprocate. Ah, the number one job of a business owner. You know, just like, well, I love designing and arranging flowers. It's my joy and my passion. So I think I'll start a floral business. Or I love, people tell me I just make the best pies in the world. So I'm going to start a pie business. And that business owner spends all their time doing what? They spend all their time making pies when in fact they shouldn't do that. Because if you spend all your time designing and arranging flowers, who's growing the business? Nobody. If you're the owner of the business, it's your job to grow the business. Because if you don't, who is? Nobody. Ain't nobody going to do that. In my opinion, the two best activities to grow your business are to network with influencers. And again, I'm just thinking of like all the activity you could do. And again, there are a lot of variables in there depending on what your business is. But I think generally I see this a lot. Okay. Number one is network with influencers. Because if you network with the right influencer, could it mean big things for your business? Oh, heck yes, right? Number two is to tell your story to large audiences. And if you tell your story to large audiences, could that also be really good for business? Well, you know it can, right? And so in my opinion, public relations, it solves that. You're networking with influencers while you're telling your story to large audiences. You're getting two for the price of one. When you do PR, you are attracting a different type of person. So because you were a giver and because you established yourself as an authority in your space, in your industry, people are generally a little bit more, they feel like they know you a little bit better. And they feel like, well, gosh, this person gave me this value. That's really cool. I like Ron. You know, Ron hooked me up on, you know, on travel suggestions or whatever. And so as a result, I trust Ron a little bit more. And so when they go to your website, what ends up happening is that they're far more likely to say yes. And think about it from a sales psychology standpoint. What sales is, generally, to get the close on a sale, you want to rack up a series of yeses. And the more yeses you can get, starting with the subconscious ones, if they're going, yep, I agree with that, yep. And you know, you start stacking up those yeses eventually are going to be like, yep, okay, I'll give you my money. And that's good, right? Because I believe that the highest value relationship we can have with our customers is one that's transactional. You give me a lot of money and I give you a lot of value. And again, as an ethical business owner, we always want to give far more value than we are asking for, in my opinion. So if you're just doing Facebook ads or whatever, I would say that your conversion rate, people land, you know, they get on your landing page or whatever it is, you know, a small percentage of them may ultimately buy from you because they don't know you from ad, right? As opposed to when you get media validation, the reason that they came to find you is because they want more. They're not just curious, they already, you know, got a little enthusiastic about the subject that you were talking about. They want to know what the next step in the relationship is. So that's kind of this, you know, why I'm a big fan of content marketing and certainly doing content marketing on someone else's stage.
Now, one of the events that Starter Studio put on was a mini trade show where the starters were given the opportunity to interact with local businesses and business leaders in a trade show format. How are things going so far in Starter Studio?
Oh, it's going great. We're actually trying to recruit beta customers right now. We're ready to have people on the system. Made some great progress with some travel agencies, so we're chugging right along, but little progress every day.
Good.
And what do you hope to get out of this experience here? We're calling this mini trade show. Like, what might be something good that you could get out of this?
Well, I think refinement of the pitch. You see what resonates with people when you talk to them. I mean, that's, you can never anticipate exactly how people are going to react to what you say until you try it, and this gives you opportunity to try it on lots of different people.
Right, interesting. So what do you hope to see from them? You're like, oh, I said the right thing.
Yeah, well, it's really about, in my mind, trying to hook them fast. And so that their eyes aren't glazing over when you're rattling on and on about your solution. So that within, you know, 5 or 10 seconds, they can relate to you and say, oh, I had that problem last week or last month or, you know, whatever it was. But as soon as they can do that, then they can see the value and they're hooked. Yeah.
Nice. And so, you know, thinking back over the past several weeks or since the beginning of Starter Studio, where do you think that you have come to, or where do you think Squiggle has come to compared to where you were at the beginning? Because, you know, at the beginning, you guys were already kind of fairly far along, I'd say, in the process.
Well, I think we refined our customer segment quite a bit. I mean, we were originally going back and forth between consumers and business-to-business model. And we've finally settled on business to the business for business reasons. I mean, the cost of consumers was going to drive us broke. Thanks to our bringing Thomas on board, we completely revamped our interface and made it much slicker to use and much easier to understand.
Yeah.
And he's just completely helped us with all of our marketing materials. So that's been great.
Nice.
But I think I would say this overall refinement across the board is really what we've gotten.
Good.
I would add one other thing to that is having the time compress and the accountability on some of the deliverables force us to look at certain things and say, okay, we need to do it now. We can't push it off. And that really helped us to focus on the important stuff. And by being together and realizing some of the early stage obstacles that we're facing, it also helped us to find solutions to those. And one of the biggest one, or the biggest one, was access to data. So that way we can verify, we knew in a hypothetical, in a static way that the algorithm worked, but now we tie into actual information and we know that our system works. Not only does it work, it works exceedingly well. And it really helps to find very quickly, in a matter of a second or less, the cheapest way to book in multi-city travel, which can take hours upon hours for a traditional consumer or even travel agents. Mm. And that's really where the value proposition comes in.
All right. So, Ron, if you don't mind me asking, in your opinion, entrepreneurs who find themselves at a trade show where they're having to do lots of pitches, where do you think that most entrepreneurs kind of screw it up a little bit?
Well, you're too busy selling and not busy enough listening, and you're not paying attention to the feedback. And not talking over the person that's asking questions, sometimes your brain engages too quickly and your mouth falls right into it. Sometimes it's best to just shut up, listen to what the person is saying, either physically, you know, by body language or with their words, and then continue into the conversation. To amplify what David said a minute ago, what I'm looking for and what we're hoping to get out of here as well is connections. You never know who knows who, and when you're exposing yourself to a bunch of people you've never met before, you're only 1 or 2 degrees of separation from anyone in the world, and that's what we're hoping for. We never know if the person's walking here, their neighbor, their family member, whomever, the college roommate is, the president of XYZ or connected with such and such, and can say, hey, I can connect you with, would that be of interest to you? And the answer is always yes. And that's what we're hoping to get out of this: exposure, knowledge, validation, and then ultimately some pivot along the way, because no plan survives meeting with the consumer.
Yeah. And Ron, so let's say that someone's started a business and they've done everything behind the screen, and you know, getting out and networking with people—they're questioning the value of that. Can you talk about the difference between building a business from behind a screen and actually being out in the real world and face to face with people?
Never build something without finding out that somebody cares about it, and that's often the mistake that we fall into. Let's build it first and then try to sell it. Is design it, conceptualize it, then go find out if anybody cares, because it's a problem worth solving. They're solving it in some way right now. And the question is your solution better, cheaper, faster, or not than what they're using today? And that will immediately tell you if you have a market or not. If you don't, quit or pivot. If you do, then really start fine-tuning and going after what really matters, and along the way, realizing where the opportunities lie. So no, hiding behind the screen is not a good thing. Surveys are not a substitute for meeting face-to-face with a potential customer and asking him or her what their thoughts are about your idea. And I love people who go, oh my God, what if they reject it? And I'm like, I want them to reject it. Get me to the word no as fast as I can, because the faster I fail, the faster I will succeed, because that will allow me to pivot, change, iterate, and find the soft spot to do what needs to be done to be successful.
Now, I hope you've been enjoying the Accelerator podcast as we follow the starters in Starter Studio. It's very, very cool to be able to watch these starters grow, and you're going to continue to see them grow because of the help of a lot of mentors, teachers, and coaches. Now, these starters were selected because they showed the right stuff in episode 1, and so they are getting Starter Studio completely pro bono. Now, this podcast is also pro bono to you. Now, Brian and I are thrilled to be able to produce this audio show. So all we ask in return is just simply your warm feelings toward the following corporate partners who make this all work. Thank you so much to the University of Central Florida, who does a lot of work in terms of supporting the growing entrepreneurial ecosystem throughout Central Florida. UCF is the number 2 largest university in the United States in terms of student population and in the top 15 in the category of most innovative. UCF is a great partner in education, technical resources, workforce development, and grant support, along with other noble missions locally, such as helping make Starter Studio happen with the support of the Office of Research and UCF Innovation Corps. Thank you. The other platinum partner this season that's helping this all work is the audit, tax, and business advisory firm Withum. and that's WITHUM. Now, they specialize in helping tech startups. They are the go-to firm for all things accounting and business consulting. If you are a startup, Withum is the go-to firm for you. Now, another partner we want to thank is the law firm Akerman. And of course, we want to thank our other sponsors, NV Labs, Code School, and Corridor Legal. And of course, we want to thank our team, Greg Pollock, who's our founder, Donna McKenzie, the executive director of Starter Studio, and Melissa Wasserman, who's the director of programming and operations. So, Ricky, what are we doing here right now this afternoon? What would you call this?
For us as starters, I would say it's kind of just kind of going over your pitch. Might be also demo if you have a lot of material, demoing your product and getting, you know, feedback and networking. So I think a combination of the three.
Have you bumped into anyone or have you gotten any feedback that's been valuable so far?
Actually, yeah, I have people that actually play sports. So getting feedback from them and how they could potentially use it. People that, you know, offering marketing services and seeing how they could, you know, help me market this idea and just positive feedback all around.
Right, right. So in terms of like your whole Starter Studio experience, how has your pitch evolved?
I think for me, and I think probably everybody, I'd speak for everybody, it's just having more confidence in what you're saying. Because initially when you come in here, I mean, if you were there for the interview, it's like kind of like you're kind of muddling through your pitch. But then, you know, going through this process and, you know, meeting people and talking to various individuals and just going over the pitch over and over again, I think you exude more confidence in your pitch and in your product and what you're going to bring to the market.
Mm-hmm. How about in terms of like entrepreneurs, like the typical entrepreneur, where do you think they kind of screw up an event like this? Like if they're like, okay, we're going to buy a booth, we're going to put $600 down, we're going to show up and boom. And where do you think they really drop the ball? Because we've all been to trade shows and we've all walked past a booth where we're like, hey, let's walk on the other side. We avoid them.
See, I went to a event about 3 weeks ago. The product was placed in the right place, but it was just, for me, okay, it was a TENS unit. I don't know if you know what those are, the devices you put to stimulate different things on your skin. So it can be used for like pain or it can be used for...
Right, it sends little impulses through a muscle, a particular set of muscles, and blah, 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 makes
exactly.
it, yeah.
So, you know, for them, they kind of, they showed it to me, but there was no explanation of what it was. They just kind of put it on me. To me, it almost didn't seem like they cared about it. Like, maybe, I don't know if they developed it or it was their product, but they just kind of left me alone with it. They didn't explain it. And the one thing I almost did, I didn't know, you know, I had never used that before. But talking to somebody afterwards, I could have really hurt myself with that device because I started to turn it up. And so all of a sudden, I started to feel like crazy effects. And what I didn't know was, like, turning it up that high can actually, it's almost like being hit with a stun gun where you kind of wet yourself or something like that. So that could have happened to me. So I guess for me is not, you know, somebody can maybe have their display and have, you know, different things that they kind of let you test, mm-hmm. but not being able to kind of talk more about the product and educate the customers or educate whoever's talking about. So I guess not knowing your product and not being an expert on your product and being able to fully explain and demonstrate is probably what most people fail, because I probably won't buy that device from them after that. I'm almost killing myself. You know?
Yeah, that's generally not a good first impression you want with your customers. Well, we almost killed them, so customer for life.
Yeah, at least I didn't wet myself. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
That would have been bad, walking around with wet pants.
How's the whole Starter Studio experience been up to this point? Like, do you feel like it's been a good use of time?
Oh, definitely. Like I always say, I'd be at my kitchen table right now with my dog jumping on my laptop, you know, so coming here, like just being around positive people that, you know, with connections, people that, you know, take time out to kind of ask you what you're doing and give feedback. And everybody in here is happy. I like always compare it to working at, you know, my old 9-to-5 job where everybody's just in there, you know, strolling in on a Monday upset. Being around people that are happy and positive, you know, because they're doing what they're passionate about. They're living their dream and trying to build around their dream. So just being in here every day is been a blessing and a real positive thing for me. And, you know, being around people that are doing the same thing, it lets you know, everybody's in the struggle together and you kind of all get through it together, you know? And that's the great thing about Orlando, too, I think, is that it's not like a Silicon Valley where you have all of these competing companies that, you know, really don't care about each other. This is more of a community, like we all kind of want to make it. We want to become that, not in the aspect of being selfish and things like that, but we want to be known as a tech community. So everybody's willing to help everybody out.
How have the mentors and the maybe the corporate partners have come in and been doing a lot of teaching and mentoring? How has that been for you?
I mean, that's awesome. That's probably my favorite part of this whole thing is people that have been there, done that, and that can give you their advice. And, you know, a lot of them give you where they failed. So, you know, so many businesses do fail. But if you can avoid the pitfalls that somebody else maybe fell into, that's obviously very beneficial.
Starter Studio sponsor, Withum, was at the trade show, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to get their take on everything. This event here, this is a mini trade show, and Withum has a booth, which I think is fantastic, completely appropriate.
It's a great booth.
I like it. You've got some swag. You're here to answer questions. What do you hope to do? What do you hope to accomplish here?
We hope to spread our name more in the tech community, try to get our name out there in Orlando that we are focusing on the tech niche, and we want to help people, you know, in the startup and emerging growth sector specifically. And we are here and we're available in Startup Studio to help the startups.
My name's Arielle Cohen. I'm the founder of Zook Music.
Awesome.
I'm a little bit sick, so my voice is a little bit weird today, but it's okay. Still
cool.
Out here.
Tell me what we're doing today.
You know, I'm not really sure. It's the Orlando Tech Association, so it's a pretty big event from what I know, and different meetups and things going on. And today, there's a bunch of different tables set up where the companies within Starter Studio and the companies locally in the community can showcase what we're doing and meet some new people.
Why is this good for you?
I think meeting people and connecting with people is always good for anyone, but for us in particular, understanding different people, who some of them, you never know who's going to walk through the door, right? So some people might come in with a background in music and might have a lot of knowledge to share, or might know someone who's in the music industry and then, you know, provide us with that connection and somehow helping each other in that kind of way. So it's useful for us, definitely.
So compared to when you started Starter Studio, might you kind of do this event with a little bit different mindset than if you were doing this, say, 6-8 weeks ago?
Yes, definitely. 6-8 weeks ago, we probably didn't even have like an elevator pitch. So at least I know what to say when people come up to us before. I don't even remember what I was saying. So yeah, it would definitely be different. I feel like we're more prepared to speak to people and be able to clearly articulate what we're doing. And yeah, that just takes practice and time, you know, getting more comfortable speaking to people. Honestly, today I'd rather be behind my computer working. It's one of those IT days for me where I'd rather be, but you know, you gotta do it, so you gotta.
How important is it to get, I would say, very honed in on this elevator pitch? I mean, where we're talking about now, you know, kind of doing some networking here. We've got some, you know, potential, you know, who knows, partners. You never know who's coming. Why is it important that you get the language of that elevator pitch down as opposed to, I'm sure you were extremely articulate when you walked in on day one. What was wrong with what you said before?
You know, things within the company change as time goes on too. So some of our missions or the things we were doing are different now from when they were when we first walked in. But it's important to get that together because you can scare someone away. They'll walk up to your table and then run away from it. And you don't want that. You're trying to take someone you meet and turn them into, build that relationship, or depending on what their background is, and you never know if we're in the same community of music, build something from that.
As you've honed your message for Zook Music, have you seen, I mean, do you have any evidence that your target audience or, you know, potential partners, et cetera, have you seen a difference in how they respond to you?
Now?
Yeah.
Have we seen a difference?
What evidence do you have that your elevator pitch is working?
Oh, people look interested and they ask more questions. You could tell by the questions they ask, you know, if they get it or not. And that's what's important. If they're kind of building off of you, oh, that sounds really cool. Can you do this? Or, you know, then you know you did something right because they understood what you're accomplishing with your, you know, business or your platform in our case. Whereas if they don't, they'll be like, they'll either walk, oh, cool, okay, and walk away, or they'll look at you. You'll see the question mark over their head. And so, yeah, it helps.
What do you think the number one mistake that most entrepreneurs make when it comes to networking like this, or in, you know, within the elevator pitch itself?
I think they downplay it. I don't think that sometimes we realize the importance of being out here networking and connecting and being bubbly and speaking to people. Some of us want to hide from behind our computer and in the office, but getting out and speaking to people, potential users, potential partners, people in the community who have these experiences, we downplay that. So I think that would just be a common something that goes on with entrepreneurs and with us.
Pitch practice is a huge part of what's going on right before demo day. And it's amazing how much progress the starters are making. Each starter has their own style that represents their unique personality. Thomas likes to use story when he talks about his story-driven social giving platform, Backstory.
Let me tell you a story about a middle schooler named Johnny. Johnny is in seventh grade at Meadowbrook Middle, a Title I school, which means he's living in poverty and requires free breakfast and lunch on a daily basis. Johnny doesn't have a father figure at home and has struggled to open up to others and be friendly. He continues to get in trouble and alienate his peers. His poor living situation has led to poor grades as well. Things were looking good for him. He seemed to be on a similar path many others at Meadowbrook Middle are on, along with 4,500 other Orange County students who are at risk of dropping out. The direction of his life, though, was changed the day local City Year volunteers arrived just last year to mentor and guide the students. Janine, a first-time City Year volunteer, had a rocky beginning to her relationship with him. Although he initially started treating her like everyone else, she knew that if she stuck with him and believed in him, something magical would happen. And it did. After a few months, he began to smile. He started being kind to others and doing better in school. He would even write nice notes to City Year volunteers for them to read after school. Now he's excelling and looking forward to college. Side note, they are still good friends. All he needed was someone to believe in him and guide him and give him permission to believe in himself. These volunteers do this on a daily basis at seven local schools right here in Orlando. These stories happen all around us. While charitable nonprofits are doing what they should be doing, focusing on one thing, serving their cause and people that need help, they may not have the time or the resources to tell their stories effectively. Essentially, they're missing out on engaging with current donors, potential future donors, and local companies and organizations. The solution? Backstory. We help charitable nonprofits like City Year tell their stories more meaningfully and enable you to support the cause and create the happy ending. In essence, solve the social problem that they're tackling. We do this by partnering with worthy local charitable nonprofit. We showcase a story about their social cause, the people in need, and the people working to solve the problem. We build a crowdfunding campaign centered around the story so current donors, community members, local businesses, and organizations can make the happy ending become a reality. We give the campaign a specific goal. Once reached, enables the nonprofit to make a tangible difference for the cause. After hitting the specific fundraising goal, we show the story backers the charitable work being carried out. When people are more engaged with the story, when they trust the organization they're working with, they have a tangible goal to support, and they see the charitable work being carried out, more money is raised and more social good is done. We learned this when we built a story campaign for our good friends at Dave's House, who are working to solve the homelessness problem in Central Florida. We told the story of Rose, a struggling citizen that they are trying to help, to a mixed group of about 30 or so donors, some current donors, some potential new donors. We also told the group the goal we were trying to reach and what exactly those funds would do. Using our process, Dave's House was able to raise $4,000, and they were able to do that in 1 hour. Multiple grants and relationships were also developed preceding the campaign. Let's talk market. The annual personal giving in 2014, which is the latest documented information, is $257 billion in America alone. When it comes to online giving, in 2014, it was 8%, which is $20.5 billion, and projected by 2018 to be 20%, which is $51.4 billion. We're looking to continue this trend and add to the online giving experience by making it more meaningful and more engaging. Now, how do we make money? Since 100% of the money donated goes to the supporting story, We're looking for a 10% contribution to fund our operations, and it's going to be a suggested option for story backers. Now, modern charities like Charity Water do this currently, and they get a 61% acceptance rate when asked to donate 10%. We're also looking for brands partnerships. I spoke of local company partners previously, and we're looking to leverage them for a story sponsorship fee, which would be currently, we're set at $1,000 per story. I could leave that out. Now let's talk competition. As we see here, there seems to be a trend of a lot of online platforms that, yes, they give you a secured way to make a donation, but the donation, the engagement doesn't go past a thank you email. So we're looking to, one, be the trustworthy source for giving, but also give people meaning and engagement with what they're doing. Onto the roadmap. We want to start with one story. I think a lot of the times as startups, we get so focused on, you know, our long-term goals, we forget that it starts with one step. So our first story is our first goal. Then we're going to move on to weekly campaigns. Once we get our process fully functional, we're going to start franchising to other cities and building not only just Backstory Orlando, but Backstory Jacksonville, New York City, Chicago. The long-term goal and vision is to make this very scalable. We want to eventually create a platform that connects creators, people like us, to nonprofits across the nation so they can start doing carrying these out themselves. You know, if we're going to enable as many people to change the world as possible, we can't do it all ourselves. We have to enable others to be proactive. Now, onto my wonderful team. Alyssa is our lead developer, not only a student of web and software development, but a student of life. She has a passion for functionality as well as helping those in need. Alex is our financial brain. She has a master's from Rollins in finance and has committed time to us outside her day job as a senior financial analyst at Hilton. I'm Tom Waterman. I quit my corporate sales job and left my safe salary 5 months ago to have a shot at being here to connect with you, each of you here at Starter Studio Class 5 Demo Day. For my team, it is an honor to be here with you all tonight and have a chance to talk about why we're all here to change the world. Now, if you want to help and you are a nonprofit or know someone who is in a nonprofit that would want to engage in and help support a story, please email us. If you're a company or you know a PR firm or work with a PR firm that works with companies here locally and you're looking to support us, please email me as well. And if you want to join the story and become a story backer as an individual, go to backtostory.com and sign up. Now, and this is a slot I'm missing. As a surprise, my team worked tirelessly to launch our first campaign tonight. To back the story, go to backthestory.com and see how you can change the life of kids, just like Johnny. Together we can change the world, one story at a time. Thank you guys.
I thought the content was really good. I thought the content was great, and the slides, honestly, for me, took away from it.
Okay.
Again, video, record yourself.
Oh, 100%.
You're leaning on your notes still too much.
Oh, completely.
And what you were leaning on the notes for was the when to click, because there's so much going on.
And then you forgot to click.
Well, that was my first time ever reading it out loud, so.
Don't let that be the first time.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, three or four times tomorrow, three or four times on Sunday.
I had to redo it for the third time this morning.
After pitch practice, Thomas touched off an impromptu round of thankfulness that traveled all the way around the room.
Yeah, I think it's important we all just kind of like express how we feel about how the last couple months went. I don't think any of us knew coming into this, like we would all become like friends and hang out and be on this level. I don't think we ever thought we were going to be on this level with Melissa and Donna. And it's just like really incredible. I think being around 8 different companies that all are like pursuing the same thing in their own way. It's like a really beautiful thing, and it's just an honor to be a part of it. And I hope, I know we're all going to stay connected, and it would mean a lot to me to do that. I love you guys.
I have had the most amazing past few months in this office. Not only do I love the people, I love everything about it. I've just been presented with so many opportunities that I never would have had a chance to take a hold of and like really push myself forward in life. And here everybody's willing to like give a helping hand and everyone's nice and you have all these advisors, and it's an amazing experience, and I'm very grateful to be a part of it.
So So we've made it through the 8 weeks of Starter Studio with a lot of big wins, as well as some hard reality for our founders. Our next two episodes will feature the actual demo day pitches, but we'll also share another hard reality. Sometimes opportunity can lead to difficult decisions. Next time on Accelerator.
The whole time it was like, it's not going to happen. And then it did happen, and we had not a lot of time to make a decision. And it was just really tough.
This episode of the Accelerator podcast was hosted by Josh Elledge and produced by me. I want to thank you for taking this journey with us. It's been a really great time producing this podcast. I've gotten to know a lot of really cool people and made some great friends. And you've been a part of it, listening in your car or jogging or wherever you are listening to this podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. It makes a really big difference to know that people are listening and enjoying learning about being a startup in general, but also learning about the great stories of these 8 startups. We only have 2 episodes left, so I would ask that you subscribe and maybe leave a review for us if you're willing to do so on iTunes or Stitcher or the Google Play Store, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You're not going to want to miss the next couple episodes, so I will see you next time on Accelerator.